What's printed is the beginning of Perek Chav Dalet. We said we attached it to Perek Chav Gimel. We appended it to that because in the Higra edition of Perek Chav Dalet, it was the end of Perek Chav Gimel. So over there, Perek Chav Dalet starts with the words Rabbi Eloi Omer, which is the first few lines into Perek Chav Dalet. So that's what we're up to. Now we're going to discuss the story of the Dor HaPalaga, the generation of the dispersal of languages at the Tower of Babel. Rabbi Eloi Omer, or in the Girsa of the Higra edition, says Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hayu Moilidin es Bineihem Ufarin V'Ravin Kivin Sheretz Gadol. In the generation after the Mabul, people would give birth to children and would be fruitful and multiply like a big insect. Shisha b'choleda, meaning they would give birth to six kids at a time. And I guess the Medrash is trying to tell us that's why the world was repopulated so quickly. The Mabul happened, I believe, in the year 1656 of creation, and the Dor HaPalaga happened in 1996. So like in 300 years, the world was like completely repopulated, which is pretty fast. So it's saying that, well, six people were born at a time. It's an interesting thing I found over here, the Pirush Rekeach al HaTorah. But what's the source of this idea that there were six people born at a time? Agav, we mentioned it earlier in Parakhov Beis when we were talking about the generation of the Mabul. It also said six people are born at a time. But over here it says six people are born at a time in the generation of the after the Mabul. So where we come from? So the Pirush Rekeach al HaTorah in Parshas Noach, Parak Yud, Pasuk Yud Ches, makes a drasha. He finds it in the Pasuk here. And the Pasuk says, when it's talking about all the descendants of Shem, Cham, and Yafes, so we know that Cham had a son named Canaan, and it goes to the sons of Canaan. Canaan Yolad is Sidon, Bechori, Veschez, Vusi, Vesam, Amori, Gergoshi, Chivi, Araki, Sini, Arvadi, Tzmori, Vesachamosi, Vachar, Nafoitzu, Mishpachais HaKanani. It says the word Mishpachais HaKanani. Now, there's an interesting thing that every time the word Mishpachais is in Chumash, not in Tanakh, but in the first five books in Chumash, the word Mishpachais, or any plural form of the word Mishpacha, so there's no Vav in the word. Mishpachais, usually we spell it Mem, Shin, Pei, Ches, Vav, Taf. Everywhere in the Chumash, it's spelled without a Vav. It's missing a Vav. So the Rekech says, except over here when it says Mishpachais HaKanani, so there, it says it with a Vav to be meramis to this idea that in the generation after the Mabul, they were giving birth to six at a time, because Vav has a numerical value of six, so that's why that's the pshat in this Medrash of it. Or that's what the Medrash is dashing it from. That's what the Rekech says.
Yeah, but in Mitzrayim, the Jewish women had six at a time also.
Exactly, that's a different thing, because there it says Vayishritzu, Vayirbu Me'oid. It says in the Pasuk, Uvnei Yisrael Paru Vayirbu Vayishritzu Me'oid Me'oid. And Vayishritzu means they became like insects. So the Medrash understands that what it means they became like insects is like just like insects give birth to six at a time. So they too, the Jews in Mitzrayim give birth to six at a time. But here it doesn't say Vayishritzu. It says just as Puru Revu. But he's saying that we learn it from the extra Vav in the word Mishpachais. It's an interesting thing. Now I looked, there's a book. It's a very handy tool if you're into these type of things. It's called the Concordantia. It's a concordance of all the words in Tanakh. So I looked over there and I found another instance where it says Mishpachais in Chumash. And that is in Parshas Nosoi, when it talks about Pikudei, the jobs of the Bnei Gershon. So over there it says,
there's Rashi about this too.
Well,
oh,
yeah, the Rashi on that pasuk?
I'm not sure on this pasuk, but I know.
I don't see it here.
The last couple of pasukim he brought.
It's really well. How can we find in Parshas Nosoi?
Rashi, one second. Parshas. Parshas Nosoi. Here, Parak Dalet Pasuk Lamed Ches. In Parshas Nosoi, so it says, the Lashon of the pasuk is, Ufkude b'nei Gershain l'mishpachay sam o l'veis avay sam. And over there, when it says l'mishpachay sam, it's spelled with a vav. So, I don't know, it's just a little bit of a horror. It could be that The exact chaser v'yaser of words, whether they have like an extra vav or extra yud or whatever, wasn't necessarily 100% the same thing throughout all of Klal Yisrael, at least in the time of the Rishonim. So it could be that the Rekech didn't have it spelled with a vav over there. It could be, I don't know. It's a little bit of a stretch to say such a thing, but so that's why it could be, I don't know. But that's what Rekech says, because it says Mishpuchei Saknani with a vav, that's where we're dashing this thing from. There's actually a very interesting story about this. It's a shtickle famous story about the Taz and the Bach. The Taz wrote on the Shulchan Aruch and the Bach wrote on the Tur, very famous Mefarshim in Paiskim and Halacha, and the Taz was actually the son-in-law of the Bach. So the story goes, how was it that the Taz came to marry the daughter of the Bach? You heard this story?
I think I read one of the books of Yerowatsky.
Oh, so the story goes that the Taz and the Bach were learning B'chavrusam, and they were learning Hilchos Ksiva Sefer Torah. So the halacha is when you write a Sefer Torah, so every line in the Sefer Torah has to have 30. It has to be the space of 30 characters. Why? So they say the halacha is that it needs 30 characters because the longest word in Chumash is word lemishpachei sehem, and the word lemishpachei sehem is spelled with 10 letters. So therefore, if to say that word three times, because the shortest pasuk has three words in it. So three times the longest word for the shortest pasuk is going to be 30 characters. And that's why every Sefer Torah has 30 characters. So the Taz asked the Bach, he said to him, wait a second, but the word lemishpachei sehem in Chumash is spelled without a vav. So it's only 9 letters. So why are we makbet to have 30 letters? It should really be only 27, because every time you say lemishpachei sehem, it's only 9 letters. And there's no vav, so why are you telling me that you need 30 letters? There should be only 27 letters. That's the question that the Taz asks the Bach. The Bach says, "Oh, it's a good question." He calls in his daughter. He says, "Oh, come here. I believe her name was Rivka. I think her name was. I have it written down somewhere. I happen to be a descendant of the Taz and the Bach, so on my family tree, I wrote down what her name was. I think her name is Rivka." He calls in his daughter, "Rivka, no, come here." So he tells her, you know, we're learning over here, Hilchos Ksivas Sefer Torah, and the halacha is that you're supposed to have 30 characters because Lemishpachei Sehem. And this young bachur over here is asking that in Chumash it never says Lemishpachei Sehem with a vav. So what do you do? So she says, first of all, there's the longest word in Tanakh is for sure 10 letters. If it's not Lemishpachei Sehem, so it's the word Achashtar Panim in Megillas Esther, which is spelled with 10 letters. So there you for sure you already have a letter, you have 10 letters. And then she says, second of all, even though in Chumash the word Lemishpachei Sehem is spelled without a vav, so it's only 9 letters, but in Sefer Yeshua, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says Lemishpachei Sehem with a vav. That's what she said. So then she went back out or whatever, and then the Bach turns to, she said, oh, he turns to Taz, and he said, no, she knows what she's talking about, she has Yir Shamayim, she knows how to learn, or whatever. So he said to her, you just saw her, you know, she's beautiful like the moon. Right? You ask him that she's beautiful like the moon? And he said, yeah. So he said, no, maybe it's time to be Kadesh Levana. So that's the story they say about how the Taz became the Bach's son-in-law. Right, that was Agav.
So I didn't know the story.
Okay, fine. So that they were giving birth to six kids at a time in the generation of the Tower of Babel. All the people of the world was one nation with one heart and with one language. Shinema, as it says in the Bozak, Vayhi chol oret safa echas udvorim achodim. The whole land was one language and one word. Or dvorim achodim could mean one thing. The Radal says it wasn't even just that they spoke one language, but that they had one mentality and one goal. Everyone had the shared goal and the shared mentality. It was just like one cohesive unity amongst all of society. It was one big society. There weren't any different groups. There's a lot of different details over here about the Dora Palaga that we're actually not going to get into because I discussed them in my book, so I don't feel like talking about them over here. But if you want to look at my book on Lashon HaKodesh, in the second chapter, we speak all about this. But that's what the Radal points out over here. Umasul Eretz Chemda. And these people despised the desired land, meaning they didn't like Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want to live in Eretz Yisrael. As we said in the previous parak, we said that Noach, after the Mabul, so we know that the Teva landed in Harei Ararat, which is in Armenia or Turkey or whatever. And then we said, but afterwards he went to Eretz Yisrael, because they say he was Makiv Korbanus by the Makom HaMikdash. So he was living in Eretz Yisrael. But these people, Dafka, didn't want to live in Eretz Yisrael. Mosu Eretz Chemda. They despised the desired land. Shem, it says in the Pasuk, Vayhi binosam mikedem. It was when they were traveling from the east. The problem is that Eretz Yisrael is not east of Bavel. We're saying that they're going to travel from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So it says that they traveled from the east. But Eretz Yisrael is west of Bavel, not east of Bavel. So the Radal says that you have to explain that Mikedem doesn't mean east as a direction, but Mikedem, we said, we had this idea earlier in Perek, somewhere. I think it was in Perek, Gimel, I think. We said that Mikedem doesn't mean only east, but it also means forward, but also it means from before. Kadmain. Kadmonia is earlier, ancient, right? So we said that Eretz Yisrael is. So he says that Eretz Yisrael is the ancient land, the Eretz Kadmonia Shel Olam, the land of the ancient place. So I think that's what it means. They went from the ancient place, not from the east, but from the ancient place. Holchul Eretz Shinar. They went to the land of Shinar, which we would translate as Sumer, which is an area in Mesopotamia, in southern Mesopotamia. Shinar, that's what they say, Shinar Sumer. Umotsu Eretz Gedela, they found a big land, Vrachavas Yadayim, and very bountiful. Vukulach Mishar, and it was completely flat, a flat land, a plain. Vyash Vusham, and that's where they settled. Shinema, it says in the Pasuk, Vayimtsu Uvik Be'eretz Shinar, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, Vayesh Vusham, and they lived there. But Rabbi Kiva says, Hishlichu Malchus Shamay Me'aleihem, they threw upon themselves the kingdom of Hashem from upon themselves. V'himlichu Aleihem Nimrod, and they put upon themselves, they enthroned upon themselves Nimrod. Nimrod is Eved Ben Melech, a slave, the son of a slave. Shlefish Shekol Bnei Cham Avodim Him, because all the descendants of Cham are slaves. We said that even though Noach, the words of Noach's curse was that it was going on Canaan. But we explained last week that the curse itself actually included all the descendants of Cham. And Cham had a son Cham had a bunch of sons, and one of Cham's sons was named Cush. And Cush had a son named Nimrod. Cush had a few other sons also, but Cush had a son named Nimrod. So Nimrod was Cham's grandson. And we're saying that these people, when they moved to Bavel, they took away Hashem as their king, and they decided to make this human being a king, this guy Nimrod, who he was a king, and he was really supposed to be a slave, the son of a slave, that's what they put as their king. And then the Medrash says, like parenthetically, woe unto the land that a king reigns over it. Shinema, it says the Pasuk, it says, Tachas Eved Ki Yimloich. The Radal brings the beginning of the pasuk is Ragza Aretz, land gets angry, Tachas Eved Kimoich, when a slave becomes the ruler. That's what it explains over here. That really the descendants of Cham are supposed to be slaves, and Nimrod was a descendant of Cham, and he was supposed to be a slave, and instead he became a king. It's like the opposite. There's a pasuk Avadim Mashlu Banu, the pasuk in Eicha. So Avodim Mashlubanu, Pashtus is talking about the Bnei, the kings of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, maybe if Nebuchadnezzar is descendant of Nimrod and Cham, so saying Avodim, people who are supposed to be slaves, Mashlubanu, they ruled over us. That's like one of the, it's like so horrible that they're supposed to be in a subservient state and instead we're subservient to them. So the pasuk that we just brought, it says Ragza Aretz, that the land got angry. It's saying the land is angry because the land recognizes that really it's the malchus belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and instead the malchus is going to a person, to such a lowly person. But there's another nikud over here that Nimrod, as we're going to see later on, Nimrod was the main instigator of the story of the Tower of Babel. that he was the main guy, he was the driving force behind it. And Chazal tell us that his name Nimrod it alludes to who he was and what he did. Nimrod is like a lashon of Mayrid, a merida, a rebellion. Now what Nimrod tried to do is he tried to get all of humanity to rebel against Hashem. So the Gemara in Erevin, it says that Nimrod, why is he called Nimrod? Shehimrid kol ha'olam kulay b'malchusay. Because through his kingship, he had the whole world rebel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. One more point, the Radal brings down, the Rabbeinu B'chayi in Parshas Yisro says that by the Aseres HaDibros, so it says, Hashem said, the first one of the Aseres HaDibros is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher yitzeicha me'eretz Yisrael mi'beis avodim. So the partial way of understanding that pasuk is saying, I am Hashem your God who took you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slaves, meaning that from you used to be slaves, you were in the house of slaves because you weren't living as normal people, and I took you out from the house of slaves. But Rabbeinu B'chaye in Parshas Yisro says that no, mi'beis avodim is going back on Mitzrayim. Asher yitzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avodim. I took you out of the house of slaves because the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim was also one of the descendants of Cham, the son of Chum. So Mitzrayim are also slaves. So I took you out of Mitzrayim from the house of slaves, from the Mitzrayim. That's what Rabbeinu B'chaye says. Fine. So the question is like this. Why did they make this guy Nimrod their king? What qualities did they see in Nimrod that made it they made him as the king over themselves? So the Medrash is going to bring two explanations. Rabbi Chanina says, Nimrod gibar koyachaya. Nimrod was very strong. He had the muscles. Shneimer says in the pasuk, "V'chush yoladus Nimrod, Kush gave birth to Nimrod, who heichel yez gibar baretz." And Nimrod was the first person to be a strong man in the world. So the reason Rabbi Chanina is saying the reason why Nimrod became king was because he was a strong person. He was a powerful, strong person. So they admired that quality in him, and they saw that was something that would be. He could protect them or whatever, so they decided that they're going to make him the king. That's Rabbi Chanina's pshat, that he himself was strong. Rabbi Yehuda says no, a different reason, similar but different. Hakutoines she'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu la'adam ul'ishtoi ha'isa imam b'teva. The tunic that Hashem made for Adam and for Chava was with Noach and his family when they were in the Teva. That the coat that Adam and Chava wore, Noach had it with them in the Teva. Ukeshu yatzu min ha-Teva, how did Noach get it? So the Sefer Yashar brings down that the Adam Rishon gave it to Chanoich gave it to Mesushalach, and Mesushalach gave it to Noach. And because it was such a, it was this coat, which we'll explain in a few moments, what was the coat made out of? Because it was something that came from Hashem and given to Adam Rishon, so they Dafka wanted to preserve it. So they gave it over from generation to generation to make sure that nothing would happen to it. And we said before in Perek Gimel that this is one of the things that was created by Nishmashos. Agav, the Radal says that the reason why Noach took it with him into the Teva is because, we'll see. Because these coat has the ability to subdue wild animals, so Noach took it with him so that when he feeds the animals, he wouldn't be putting himself in danger. That's what the Radal wants to say. Fine. So it was with them in the Teva. Ukushiyatsum in the Teva, when they left the Teva, when they left the Ark, Lekacha Cham ben Noach, Cham the son of Noach took it, Vayitzia imay v'nichila l'Nimrod, and he took it out with him, and he bequeathed it to his grandson Nimrod. Now, it sounds like over here, Chom, the son of Noach, he just took it. It didn't say that it was given to him. And the Radal says that in Sefer Yashar, it says it specifically, that Chom stole it. And I found another Medrash, it says over here, it's called Medrash Aseres Malachim. It's printed in Itzer Midrashim on page 461. Over there, it says a similar idea, but not exactly the same. It says that Noach to Shem. Shem gave it to Aver, and Nimrod made a war with Aver, and when he defeated Aver, he took these clothes of Adam Rishon and he wore it. That's what it says in that Medrash. So it says, Uvishar Shahaya Laivesh Aesop, when Nimrod would wear these clothes from Adam Rishon, Hayukol Behema Chayav Oif Bayin Venefilin Ufanov. Every animal, wild animal, and bird would fall in front of him and be subservient to him. So Kisvurin, people thought, People thought that the reason why the animals were subdued in front of Nimrod was because he was so powerful, and the animals realized that he's so powerful, so they if even the animals could recognize it, so we recognize that he's so powerful. Therefore they made him the king. Because they said, oh, he must be so powerful, because look, the animals are meek when they come across him. So they made him the king. Shinamar says the Pasuk, Al Kain Ye Omer Kinimra Yigibar Tzayid Lefnei Hashem. Therefore people say that, like, when you want to say that someone was a strong man, you say like, oh, he's like a Nimrod, who's a Gibur Tzayid, who was a powerful a hunter in front of Hashem. So in a nutshell, basically this clothing that came from Adam and Chava, so saying that it had the ability to make the animals subservient and calm them down. So the Radal says two explanations. Why is that true? It's really one explanation. It could be one is because there is special clothing from Shemayim, so they could have special properties. And the other Nakuda is that because originally Adam Rishon was the one who wore it, and we said in Perek Yud Aleph that when Adam Rishon was first created, so all the animals were scared of Adam Rishon. They thought that he was the one who created the world, and they started bowing down to him. And he said, "When are you bowing down to me? We should all go down together and bow down to Hashem." But the animals were originally scared of Adam Rishon, so the animals became conditioned to being scared of whoever's wearing these clothing. Even though he's not necessarily the same person, it's not Adam Rishon, but they thought that the clothing makes the man. No? So basically what the Medrash is saying over here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it wasn't that Nimrod himself was actually so strong, but that when he wore these clothing, it had certain properties that made it that the animals would be calm. So people thought that he was so strong, so that's why they made him king. And the first explanation, Rabbi Hanina's pshat, was that because he was so strong, they made him king. So the Nafkamina was he really strong, or did people think he was strong? That's the difference between them. There's an interesting the Radal.
Rashi points out though that his strength wasn't strength; it was strength to convince other people.
Convince people.
So what was the, and but that's not being.
That's not what the Medrash over here is saying. No. But the Radal points out an interesting thing. He tells you to look at the Zayah. The Radal tells you to look at the Zayah. In Parashas Boy, Daf Lamed Tesvav Aleph, the Zayah brings this Medrash that Nimrod wore the clothing of Adam and Chava. And the Zohar says, the Chazal say that Nimrod wore the clothing of Adam and Chava. But we have two questions. The Zohar says, first of all, it says Adam and Chava, right? So what, he was wearing both? He was wearing like a skirt and a pant? Like he was wearing what? He was wearing Adam's clothing and Chava's clothing? What happened to Chava's? Pashas means he was wearing Adam's clothing. So what happened to Chava's clothing? That's one kasha the Zohar asks. Then the Zohar asks another kasha. It says, if Hashem gave special clothing to Adam and Chava, and that's what they wore, so if Nimrod got it or someone else got it afterwards, what were they buried in? Does it make sense that they took off these special clothes and wore something else, or that someone took off these clothes from them and put on other clothing? The Zohar says it doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not so convinced by these two questions. But the Zohar asks these two questions and concludes, not like Chazal. It says, no, rather you have to say that the special clothing that Hashem gave Adam and Chava, no other person in the world was able to wear it because they're spiritual clothing, they're not really physical clothing. And it basically, the Zohar argues on this, on Rabbi Yehuda of our Medrash over here, and saying that no, Nimrod didn't wear the clothing of Rishon. That's what the Zohar concludes. So you have to say that the Zohar is going like Rabbi Hanina, that learns that really Nimrod himself was strong, not that he looked strong because of his clothing. That's what I would say. Oh, so what were these clothing over here? What was so special about these begadim k'tainis sh'asa kadosh baruch hu for Adam and Chava? So I wrote down a few explanations. The Sefer Tzioni and the Shla say that it was made out of the skin of the Leviathan. The Hadar Zakenim brings down that actually it was the Bigdei Kahuna. But then the Hadar Zakenim asks, but if it was the Bigdei Kahuna, so what was Chava was wearing the Bigdei Kahuna? It doesn't make sense. So the Hadar Zakenim says, rather you have to say it was like some special clothing that had pictures of all the animals on it. That's what, if you ever came across this idea that it was the clothing that has pictures of animals on it, so that's where it comes from, the Hadar Zakenim. So like if it had like a little mouse or something, so like if an elephant saw the coat, the elephant would be subdued because it saw a mouse, it'd be scared. Is it really true that elephants are scared of mice? No. Don't know. The Chandos Yamim says that it was a clothing that had like special precious stones on it, like the Big Day Kuna, but not Mamish Big Day Kuna. Yeah.
The clothing was to make animals subservient, or also human beings subservient.
It sounds like it only worked on animals.
Because otherwise you couldn't have defeated Aver in war. You would have been subservient to Aver.
Right, I hear. Yeah, it sounds like from the mention over here that it's only animals.
Assuming
Eber
was wearing the clothing.
Once you
met,
what?
I mean, it could be it was in his warehouse then.
It was in his closet. I don't know. Right. But that.
Once you mentioned it, there's one of the, I forgot who it says, the one in Midrashim or Rishenim or somebody brings down an interesting story. Maybe it's Sefer Yashar even. That we're going to see at the end of the parak that Nimrod, that Esav got jealous of Nimrod and he wanted to get these clothing. So, but he said, like, if I fight him, how am I going to be able to defeat Nimrod? He's so strong. So apparently Yaakov Avinu gave, according to this Medrash, Yaakov Avinu gave Esav an Eitza, how you could defeat Nimrod. He said like this, go to Nimrod and challenge him to a duel. But tell him, look, I know that you have these special clothing, right? So you're not going to, you'll defeat me because you have these special clothing. But that doesn't mean that you're more powerful than me. So you have to tell Nimrod, you have to take off these clothing to make it a fair fight, and then we'll see who's stronger, right? And then of course Nimrod takes off the clothing, and Esav grabs the clothing and runs away.
Something like that. He killed him, no?
He killed him, and then he took the clothing and ran away.
So if he killed him, it sounds like he overpowered him.
Yeah.
It sounds like Esav physically was stronger than Nimrod.
Yeah.
Esav killed him.
But we'll see. It's Machlokes, but Pirkei de Blazer holds that Esav killed him. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. It says that he was tired. He was tired because
he wanted to kill. Yeah.
Because he
was murdering. Yeah.
A few wrong things he did. One of the wrong things he did was.
He
killed Nimrod and his son, I think, also, no?
Right. According to the Targum Yonasan, says his son,
So that's where he started, because it was the day of Avraham Yisrael.
And also because he committed five of errors on that day, so it's higher than
that. Right.
But what about the pshat that is the males?
So I think that
the skin, the ore, was this, that's when somebody told me that's the reason why we don't cut our nails after Shabbos. Because that's when they got the nail. That's when they got the clothing, which was made of a substance.
That was the clothing before the chait or after the chait? I don't remember.
After, I don't see the clothing.
Had to be after the
chait. Oh, that's before. We saw that, right?
Right. I think we saw that
in the beginning.
What part was that?
Before the chait.
No,
their
so
skin, what was the question? What was their skin?
Oh, what was the skin like?
And they'd say, I think, yeah, some people.
That was before the chait. In Perek Yudalek, it says that they wore like a cloth sort of skin of nail skin all over their body. But then after the chait, in Perek Chaf Aleph, it says that Hashem gave them skin made out of. No, it wasn't Chaf Aleph. It was Chaf. It says Hashem gave them a clothing made out of the skin of the nachash. So before they were nails, and afterwards they were snake skin.
You only mentioned Jerwan, you heard the gifts of fire.
Yeah, he was Baal Naira Mirasan. He had relations with a betrothed woman.
He murdered.
Denied the birthright.
Denied the birthright.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that's why they made Nimrod the king over them. Either because he was actually strong, or because people thought he was strong because of his clothes. Okay. So what did Nimrod do? Nimrod said to his nation, "Boyu v'nivra lanu ir gedola. Let's go and build for ourselves a huge city. V'neishiv sham b'secha, and we'll live over there." All together in this big city. Not pen nafutz al pnei chol aretz kirishenim, lest we be scattered all across the whole world like the previous people. Like the Radal says that he's referring to the generation of the Dor HaMabul. That we don't want it to happen like that happened, like it happened to them, that there was a Mabul all over the world. So rather, we're all going to live together. Now the logic over here is a little bit like, how does that work out? Because we don't want a Mabul to come, so we're all going to live together. Not sure, but the Radal has a whole theory that he speaks about over here, and also in Perek Aleph, that one of the ways that Nimrod was able to get them to make him king over them is that basically something that politicians do nowadays called fear mongering. You get everyone scared, and you can come up with whatever you want, and they're like, they'll just buy it, right? So they're saying, everyone listen to me, because otherwise there's going to be a mob. So everyone gets all scared. Oh, we don't want a mob, so we'll just listen to him. Right? It's like people do it nowadays. You know, I'm the only person who knows how to deal with global warming, so everyone should vote for me, because otherwise, you know, the world is going to be destroyed. Or, you know, I'm the only person who has the guts to fight the Arabs properly, so you have to vote for me, because otherwise, you know, we're all going to be killed.
Well, what did Bush do in 2005?
What?
Bush in 2005.
I'm not saying specific things, I'm just like, this idea. That's why I chose one example from the left and one example from the right, you know? I'm just saying that everyone does it. That's a way of manipulating people, right? And the other way that you manipulate people is you come up with a common enemy, right? The common enemy, Nimrod's common enemy, our enemy is God. God is like... He's the one who's making all the problems. If we can go and fight him and beat him, we'll take care of everything. We're going to build a huge tower in the middle of the city, and we're going to go up to Shemayim. Purpose? Because the power of Hashem is only in with water. Because they only saw that Hashem could do a marble. So they said, oh, Hashem will make a flood. So the problem is the flood. We can beat the flood by going up all the way to the Marzu says, we'll go up all the way to the Shemayim, we'll go on top of where the water comes down, and then the flood can't affect us. Shemar, it says, V'nikne lonu shem gadol ba'aretz, and with that we're going to acquire for ourselves a great name in the land. I don't know what it means, a great name, because if they're the only people in the world, so then obviously they have a great name. Like, a great name sounds like we want other people to know about us. Maybe it's talking about for subsequent generations. Not sure. Shneva, it says, "We're not alone in shame. We want to make for ourselves a name." Okay. So the major question is like this: what were the people that were trying to make the Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Babel, were they stupid or like retarded or something? Like, what's wrong with them? They didn't see that in the previous parak, people who made the Mabul, they were trying to rebel against Hashem, and Hashem smote them. So, like, why did they think that they would be different? Why did they think that they would be more successful? Why did they think they would be better than them?
And why did they think that it says pen foot out name for our Karishonim?
Yeah. We said Karishonim like the people of the Mabul.
They die. That's not enough foot out for our.
No. So I think what you have to say is that when the Mabul came and the whole world was covered in water, so then the water sort of spread everything out. I think that's what it means. I'm not sure.
That was their. That's what ended up happening with them.
Yeah. That's not the Iker punishment. The Iker punishment was that like the water came and killed them. Not that they were scattered. It's hard to fit exactly into the words. You're right. So Rabbi Yehuda Meir Izmir asks this question, and Rabbi Yehuda Meir Izmir says that you have to say that they were thinking that, well, the problem of the Dor HaMabul we know was Moloch HaLaaretz Chamas. The people were stealing and they were acting improperly to each other. So because they're acting improperly to each other, so that's why Hashem destroyed them. But if we're all going to go together, we're going to be united, then Hashem is not going to destroy us. Then we can actually defeat Hashem. United, we can defeat Hashem. Divided, we won't be able to defeat him. That's what Rabbi Yom Yisrael says. What were they thinking? Then he tells you to look at a medrash called Eisius Reb Kiva Eis Reish. And over there it gives a little bit of a different explanation. So we're going to read it. This is from Eitzim Midrashim. Starts on page 422, goes to 423. Eitzim Rabbi Kiva is a medrash from Chazal, where Rabbi Kiva has drushes about every letter in the Aleph Beis and says like, what does each letter? What's the significance of each letter? And it gives all kinds of interesting ideas. So on the letter Resh, Ein Resh Ela Migdal. The word Reish, the letter Reish, refers to tower. Shebanu b'nei Dor HaPalaga, that the people from the Dor HaPalaga built. Shereish Magel Hashemayim, because the head of that tower reaches the Shemayim. Shemar Hava Nimna Lanu Ir Migdal v'Reish HaShemayim. Come, let's build a city, and the tower of the city will, the head of the tower, the top of the tower will reach the Shemayim. Right? The Empire State Building. I don't know, the Sears Tower or something like that. What's the tallest building nowadays?
Dubai. Some, yeah.
Dubai?
The one in Dubai, yeah. My son has a book with the tallest buildings and it's Dubai.
Uh-huh.
Far taller than everything.
But oh, so it was an apartment building or something, no?
Yeah, it's part of an apartment and a restaurant. It's taller than by far every other building.
Really?
Yeah. It's meters taller than
Is it wide also, or it's like just?
But at the base, it's pointy. At least the picture shows it. It's very tall.
But also, Shah, at that time, Amru b'nei Dor ha'Palaga, the people from the generation of the division, they said, "Loi shaitim hayu b'nei amabul sh'amru the barim sur mimenu." Aren't the people from the generation of the flood, aren't they shaitim, aren't they stupid? Because they said to Hashem, remove yourself from us, until Hashem put upon them the waters of the flood, and Hashem destroyed them from the world. So what are we going to do? We're going to build a tower from the land all the way up to the heavens, and we're going to live in it, like the ministering angels. And what are we going to do? We're going to take hammers in our hands, and we're going to bang on the rakia, on the sky. And we're going to make it that when the waters from the heavens come down to the earth to destroy us, we're going to use these hammers to make it, to push the water to fall dafka where there's water in the mayim tachtanim by the world. We're going to make it that if Hashem wants to make a flood against us, so we're going to make sure that all the water falls into the ocean. It's not going to fall onto people with these hammers that we have, because we're smarter than everyone else. Kadesh lo yasa banuk shem shasa b'bnei amabu, so that Hashem won't do to us like what He did to the b'nei amabu, to the dor amabu. And then the Medrash says an interesting thing. It says, at that time, all the people of the generation of the Dor HaPalaga, of the Tower of Babel, they split into three groups. Each one had their own motivation of why exactly they wanted to build this huge tower. One said, we're going to build this tower so we can go up to the Shemayim and we can colonize it. We're going to live up there like we live down here. We're going to make a colony on the moon. We're going to make a colony in the sky. And that's what we're going to do. Just because we want to take over the Jetsons. What? How did the Jetsons beat the Flintstones? These are in the future, they're in the past. The second group said, we're going to build a tower that's going to go all the way up to the heavens. And we're going to make for ourselves a name. Shame. And the Medrash over there says that the shame, the word name in this context means they're going to make for themselves not a name, like we're going to be famous, but rather they're going to make themselves a name, and they're going to make themselves an Avodah Zarah. And it brings a pasuk, Parshas Mishpatim, says, "B'shem Elohim Acherim Leisaskiru." You shouldn't mention the names of other gods. V'kas Shlishis Oimeres. A third group said, "Nivna Elohim Migdol Me'Aras Arakia V'Nachtay Hashemayim B'shem Hashemayim Chatichas V'Nasim Belchavim Im Hakadosh Baruch Hu L'Aninichom Mimikaymei." We said we're going to go up. We're going to build a tower that goes all the way up to the Shemayim, and we're going to take sharp objects or something, and we're going to cut up the Shemayim, and we're going to fight against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to make a war, and He won't be able to move us to other places. We're going to be able to decide where we want to live. So these are the three different things that are happening over here. So I would add that at this point you see that the whole idea was like, okay, we're better than everyone else because we're united, and therefore we're in a better situation than the Dor HaMabul. But like at this point already, when they started it, then it's like people are already starting to come up with different ideas. I want to do Avodah Zarah. I want to fight Hashem. I want to colonize the Shemayim. They're having already, there's a split in their motivations. Rabbi Pinchas says, "Lo yihayu sham avanim livnais esair v'esamigdal." They didn't have stones to build the city and the tower because they were living in a Bavel, which is a bika. It's a plain. It's a flat land. There's no rocks. There's no mountains. So they didn't have that. So how do they mehayu oisin? So what do they do? Hayu melabinim levenim v'sarfin oisan ki yetsar cheres. They would take limestone and they would form it, and then they would put it into a furnace and solidify it like a person who works with pottery. And then with that, they made bricks and they were able to build their city and their tower.
An argument would be stones are not flat necessarily. It's not so simple to build that high with some rocks.
You're saying another reason why they dafka would use bricks than stones.
Bricks are, they fit together very nicely and
could be.
Someone I know is very into this stuff. He says this is the first instance where they use technology in Chumash. This is the Indian here. They're beginning to use technology.
It's like technology against Hashem.
I have to go, but, huh? Yeah, they're from their own sesekel, they're trying to.
No, but we had before that. We had what's it called? The sons of what's his name? Of Lamech, that this guy invented the different musician things, and this guy invented the what's it called, blacksmith or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. He probably asked that in the next part of the shir, but you missed it. Achibano is a gavaya shivim mil. Until they built up this tower, it was 70 mil tall. How much is 70 mil? How much is a mil? Do you remember offhand? Probably Palmer.
Close to a mile.
Mill is about a mile, yeah?
So I remember thinking that thought, that, that's basically almost a mile.
It's Be'erach a mile, if I'm not mistaken. So it was 70 miles tall.
That's about space.
Is it?
60 miles of space. That's when you start floating. That's what I saw, some 63 maybe. I don't know.
So 70 miles up is like, Mamish.
So they came to outer space.
That's what it would seem like.
Seems they made one mistake. They didn't realize that Hashem was not physical or spiritual. He's here like he is there.
Yeah.
They made a little error.
Right.
Even if they would have built all the way up, they would have never ended. They would have
right. And there's the famous shtickle from Rubienus and Ibishitz that says more or less that like they wanted to build a spaceship to go up to Shemaim. You ever heard this one?
It's like a famous. They're actually building a spaceship.
Yeah.
So he's the inventor of the idea of a spaceship then.
Rubienus and Ibishitz?
400 years ago, he was 400 years ago.
I don't know.
The Bnei Chum was so smart, they come up with this idea.
Okay.
Well, they built the pyramids.
Right? Well, they had the Jews build the pyramids, maybe. I don't know. That's what people say.
Sounds like the Mitzrayim were smarter for some reason.
The Mitzrayim, yeah.
It's a steer, no? How does it become so smart?
I don't know. Well, you could be smart and be an Evan. I don't know if it's true. So Radal says that it was 70 miles tall, connected to 70 nations that helped build it. We'll see later on that it was 70 nations built it. Then he brings the Targum in Kehelis. I actually saw this Targum. I noticed it this year when we were reading Kehelis on Chol Moed Sukkos. That it says in the Targum in Kehelis in Perek Yud, it says that 1,000 kings joined together to help build the Migdol Bavel. So he says, it's 1,000, it's not 70. But okay, fine. Umayla is Hayulam in Mizrachai Umimaravai. And so we have this big, huge tower. And there were stairs on the east side of the tower and on the west side of the tower. Elo Shahayu Mailan as the Levenim Hayulam in Mizrachai. The people who were bringing up the bricks would go up the stairs on the east. And the people who would come down from the stairs on the west. What's it called? The Radal says that Rabbeinu Bechaye, when he brings down this medrash, he has a girsa that it says that there were 70 stairs. So he says, what do you mean? If it's 70, it doesn't make sense that there were 70 stairs. Because if it's 70 miles tall, that means that each stair was 1 mile tall. You can't walk up a staircase that each stair is 1 mile. It doesn't make sense. So he says that when it means 70 stairs, it means 70 staircases. It says that each nation had its own staircase to go up the Migdal Bavel. So I think you see it again over here, that they're already starting to like split up. It's 70, each one has their own staircase. So what do you mean? I thought everyone is all together. It's already they're already beginning to like to stop necessarily working completely united. Now you see this point in another way. Oh, Agav, he says that the Radal says that the reason why was that when you go up it goes from the east and when you come down it's from the west is because they were mimicking the sun. When the sun comes up from the east and it goes down in the west, so the program was to mimic the sun. And when you bring up the bricks, the guy bringing it up comes up from the east and goes down from the west. Fine. We have Nafal Adam Vames. If a man fell and he died, because you know this is a lot of stairs, it goes very high. Lo hayu samim es libam alav. They wouldn't care about it. They wouldn't put their heart to him. They didn't care about him. But if one brick fell, they would sit down and they would cry and they would mourn over it. And they would say, woe upon us. When are we going to get another brick instead of this brick? And they would be all sad. So this is like another, like the liberal mentality where they didn't really care about the people, they cared about the ideas more, right? And then they, what's going to be? We need another brick. They were crying. Fuck. The Marzu brings that it says in Sefer Yashar that it would take them a full year to make one brick. To get from one brick to make it and then bring it all the way to the top of the tower. It would take a whole year. So like when a brick was fell or whatever, so like it's a loss because like, you know, you would really have to wait a whole year to fill that loss. Okay. Avram ben Terach, Avram the son of Terach, passed by some Bainanas ear. And he saw them building this city and the tower. V'kilulam b'shem elikov, and he cursed them in the name of Hashem. V'amar, he said, Bala Hashem palag l'shenam. Hashem should swallow them. Hashem should split their language. And we know that Api the Cheshvan, if you look in the Pesukim, you can make a partial Cheshvan. Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948, and therefore he was 48. How old was he when by the Dora Palaga? It was 1996. 96.
So he was in his 50s. Just below 48.
48. He was 48 years old, right? Avraham Avinu was 48 years old. And that's when
he ran into his fight with Nimrod.
Yeah. So in my book, I speak about how a few different fights between Avraham Avinu and Nimrod, and this is sort of one of them. Other midrashim say better that as a Nimrod wanted to do the Migdal Bavel, and Avram and a few other people were opposed to Migdal Bavel. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily say it like that Avram Avinu was opposed. It just said Avram Avinu passed by, he saw them building, and he cursed them out, or he cursed them. He put the Hashem should swallow them up and split up their languages. The Ibn Ezra says a huge chiddush. Ibn Ezra in Parshas Noach says a huge chiddush. He says that Avram Avinu partook in building Migdal Bavel. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. I once asked Meir Shashiva about this. He says that Chazal definitely understand not like that. Because there's a Gemara and a Avodah Zarah. It's also Yaakov Shemayni and Tilim. It says in the Pasuk, Asher ish asher lo yichalach ba'atzas rishoyim. And the Gemara says, I think it's in Avodah Zarah. It says that Pasuk, Asher ish lo yichalach ba'atzas rishoyim, is talking about Avram Avinu, who didn't go with the Atzas rishoyim, who didn't partake in building the Migdal Bavel. But Ibn Ezra is the one who also he speaks out the whole Cheshvan to tell you that Avraham Avinu was 48 years old by Migdal Bavel. But I'm just remembering right now that there's a Marsha in Maseches Avodah Zarah also on Daf Tes Mud Aleph, that the Marsha seems to say that Avraham Avinu only started to learn Torah after the story of Migdal Bavel. And it says that he started learning Torah after Migdal Bavel, and it took him 5 years to learn Torah, and then he was 52, and that's when he started teaching others. And then when Avraham Avinu was 52, what year was that? That was exactly the year 2000. So Gemara, right, this is the Pshat in the Gemara, because the Gemara says that the first 2,000 years of the existence of the world was Tayhu, and the next 2,000 years of the existence of the world was the 2,000 years of Torah. So that 2,000 years of Torah started when Avraham Avinu was 52 years old, which is 5 years after the Migdal Bavel. So the Marsha says, because first it took him 5 years to start learning after Migdal Bavel, and then he started teaching other people, and that's when the 2,000 years of Torah starts. Marsha and Avodah Zarah Daf Tes. I just remembered it now. Okay, so that was Avraham Avinu. He was telling them not to build, and he cursed them. V'haloi kol even umas was devoray ke even mushlach al gabe karka. But the people who were building, they despised his words like a rock that you like throw on the floor. Like they didn't care about it. It was just like there. They didn't pay attention to it. And then the Medrash says v'haloi kol even bocher v'toyv ein nes and they say ella al pinei sabayis. Medrash says, is it not true that any the choicest and the best of stones, you don't just throw it on the floor and not use it, you use it in the corner house, the cornerstone, because it holds up both sides together. It's the best, you use the best stones for the corner. And they're just like throwing, disregarding Avraham Avinu as if he's nothing. Medrash says, Allahu Kasavayimar, Avraham Avinu, the Torah says, Evan Masu Habbainim, a rock, the boinim, the people who were building, despised it. Hayusal reish pina. It became the cornerstone. It became the major, the cornerstone of the world. Now, Avraham Avinu was probably the most influential person who ever lived in the entire world.
I seem to recall
that. Want
to
argue with that?
Scroll is referring to David HaMelech.
That there's such a midrash. It's a Gemara. There are new midrashim that said that because David HaMelech was there's a story. It's brought down. The Chiddush brings it, and a few other. It's midrash Sechertai maybe even that there's a story that Yishai was upset that he when he realized that he's from descendant of Rus, he's from Mayav, so he thought that maybe he's Pasul Akal because the drasha of Mayaviv Le Mayavis wasn't so pashut, so he thought maybe he's not really supposed to get married. So it says that he separated from his wife, and then his wife decided that she's gonna do a shtick on him, and basically he ended up propositioning his slave, but he thought it was a slave, but it was really his wife, and he from that David HaMelech was born. But people thought that his wife became pregnant stam, not through him. So they looked at David HaMelech originally as illegitimate. So Evan Masu Habonim, the rock that the people hated, because they thought that David was like sort of right, they thought he was a mamzer, but he was Haisel Reish Pina. That's a different medrash on that pasuk.
But that rock is the cornerstone
of the world. That's yeah.
Now today,
Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon says, Kocha HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'shivim Malachim Hasavivim Kisei Chvoidai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to the 70 angels which surround him on his holy on his chair of glory. V'amar lahem, Hashem said to them, Boyu unevalbel es l'shenem. Come and let's mix up their languages. Or their language. U'meinayim shekadosh baruch hu yorad aleihem. How do we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu came down to Migdal Bavel? Shenera says the pasuk, Hova nerda. Come, let's go down. Erda ein ksiv. It doesn't say I'm going to go down. Ela nerda, we will go down. Hashem said it. Hashem and his 70 angels said we're going to go down. Rashi in Chumash says a slightly different shot. Rashi says that because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was such an anav, he wanted to teach us the midah of anivus. So Hashem said it to the angel to his Rashi says to his Beis Din, as if you know me and the Beis Din are going to go down and take care of the situation, even though it was really Hashem himself who was doing it. But here we're saying a different shot that it's going with the 70 angels. Yeah. Evan Masa, but anyway, sorry, Shpina. Yishai, yeah. The Gemara's Maram is to it, but it's more, the story that I said is more Mufurish in other sources. Yeah, Psachim, Kufi, and Tesim, and Alf. Okay. So Hashem is going to go with these 70 angels, and he's going to mix up all the languages and the nations. How do we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a lottery between the 70 angels? Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, "Bahanchel Elyon Goyim." In Parshas Hazinu, it says like this: it says, "Bahanchel Elyon Goyim." When Hashem was bequeathing the nations their heritage, "Bahafriday Bnei Adam." When Hashem was separating the sons of Adam, when He was separating the different nations. Yatsev Gvulois Amim L'Mitzvah B'nai Yisrael. He erected the borders of the nations K'Mitzvah B'nai Yisrael, like the number of the sons of Yisrael. And we know that when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, it was 70 people of his family. That's the B'nai Yisrael. So we know that there were 70 nations. Hashem split up the world into 70 nations.
We don't know that from before, from B'nai Noah.
If you learn Parshas Noach really good, and you didn't know that there were 70 nations, you might not come to that conclusion.
Is it 71?
There's different numbers that you might come to, depending on who you count and what you don't count. But Chazal are first telling us There's a pasuk that tells you Yatzak Gulas Amim LeMisrav Bnei Yisrael, that there were 70 nations. How to count the 70? How to count exactly the 70 nations in the Parshas Noach? There's different ways of doing it. If you want,
count Yefes, so you don't blame her as itself or not as itself.
Do you count Nimrod as one of the nations himself? There's a lot of different.
Article just splits between.
I know. I saw. I know articles. I know articles chart.
They do, yeah, that's right.
It's only one side.
They take out Plishtim or Nimrod.
Yeah. If you look over here on the bottom of your Pirkei Avos in the Bayis HaGadol, so he has two different ways of counting the 70, and one of the projects that I never get to work on is going through all the different ways of counting the 70. Rabbi Zaria DeRozi also has different ways of doing it. It's a very interesting sugya.
It's not simple,
it is. It's not simple, no. So Hashem made kibiyochel a lottery between the different nations. And the portion, the lot of Hashem came out on Avraham Avinu and his family. That's the next pasuk. The portion of Hashem is his nation. Yaakov is the portion of his nachla, of his inheritance. So Hashem split up the nations into 70, and Hashem got Yaakov. Bnei Yisrael, and the other nation, different malachim got different nations. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, "Chevel v'goral zeh, this portion and this lot that fell, shenafal alai, that fell upon me, rotzosi nafshi, my soul wants it." Obviously, Hashem doesn't have a soul, but Hashem is saying that I'm happy with it. Shenemar chavolim nafuli b'ne'imim, a package fell upon me with pleasantry. It was pleasant. I wanted that package. Now, I personally don't know exactly how to understand what's happening here in the Medrash, because it sounds like, if you read it like simply, it sounds like there was like a lottery, and it just like it happened to come out that like Bnei Yisrael went to Hashem, and each other nation went to like different malachim. It doesn't sound so right. Like it was just a lottery, and like happened to come out like that. So obviously it was Hashem didn't make a lottery. Sounds like it happened by chance. That's what I'm bothered by.
And the whole world was created, as you said, for Abraham and Israel.
Yeah. Right? So, like, what's? It was. And also, is Klal Yisrael considered from the 70 nations or not? Pasha's not. So then it wasn't even in the lottery, Bechal, right? So I don't know. This whole thing gets like very problematic, and like there's a lot of things you have to like sit down and really think about it, how it works out. In the academic world, they have this whole like apikursoship shot in these psukim over here in Parshas Hazino. I'll tell you very bekitzer of what they say. They basically have an idea that the early Jews believed that there were gods of different nations, and that Yudke Vavke is like the god of the Jews, and each nation had like their own god, and then there was another god on top of everything. And they want to say that god on top of everything was named Kael or Ael or El Yoin. And we find in different... You've seen these books. The emesis that we find in writings of different non-Jewish nations, Canaanite nations, that they refer to their god as El or El Yoin, which are terms that we use when we talk about Hashem. So the academic world wants to say that it was basically agreed upon by most of the early tribes and nations, whatever, in this area, that there was a supreme god called El Elyon, and under him were different other gods, and Yud Kei Vav Kei was like a sub-god under him. So they understand it as that this Elyon guy, so he was splitting up all the different nations, right? And there were 70 of them, and what came to the Jews? Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the god that became the god of the Jews. That's how they understand these psukim.
I've seen books which say other things. He said the Yidden who came by Yeshua and conquered Israel wasn't a nation, it was different barbarian tribes who came through the Arabian desert. And it says that they came on the Germanic tribes to murder and plunder, and it wasn't even one nation, it was like a mixture of like 40 different nations.
And they said like shame, or Malkitzedek was shame. The Chazal tells that Malkitzedek is shame, and even Josephus says that Malkitzedek is shame. Says that he was Hukayin Lekel Elyon. And this whole thing over there, he says, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Kaneshim Al-Aretz, Baruch Kel Elyon Hashem Begins Rech B'Yadach Ba'itin Lema'asim Mikol. So over there, by Malkitzedek, Tafka doesn't say Hashem, it just says Kel Elyon. So they say like, Malkitzedek, he was sort of like a neutral, like a higher a higher type of priest. He was a priest for like the supreme God, not for like any specific nation God. That's what they want to say. But we understand that Elyon is another term for Hashem. So, but then you, if you think about it, it's like it's a shtickle funny. So Hashem is making a lottery about the different nations, and then like Hashem got Klal Yisrael. Okay.
It's almost like you fear that Hashem would do a gara.
Right.
He knows
that. That's
for him to use this thing we consider
as
a chance.
Kale, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Assigned us to Hashem.
Right. That's how they say it. But we understand that Kel is Hashem. So is that better? So Hashem made a lottery and we came out that we got his portion. We're like, how exactly to understand that? I asked a few people, some big Talmidei Chacham about it, and they didn't know what to say. They weren't familiar with this piece of Pirkei Eliezer, so. But right there. And the 70 angels that surround his chair of glory came down with him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu confused their language into 70 nations and 70 languages. Each one of the 70, they became their own nation, they had their own form of writing and their own language. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed an angel upon each and every nation. Now here it says Mina, HaKadosh Baruch appointed it. Before he just said it was a lottery, right? So I don't know exactly how it works. V'Yisrael nafu b'chalkei v'chavlei. And Klal Yisrael fell into the portion of Hashem. Nafal is like a lashon of like by chance, I don't know. V'alzeh ne'emar, this one, it says the pasuk chelek Hashem amoy. I don't know, we just repeated what we said before. I don't know why the Medrash did. Uminayin Shiar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do we know Hashem himself came down? This is also repeated what we just said. Hashem, when it says the pasuk, a different pasuk. Vayered Hashem liris esayir v'samigdal. Hashem came down to see the city and the tower. It says the Medrash, Zoy Yerida Shnia. We mentioned in Perek Yadalit that we find 10 times in Tanakh that it says, in Chumash, that it says that Hashem came down. And the first one we mentioned over there was when he came down to speak to Adam and Chava about what they did wrong with the Itzad As. And we said throughout the rest of Pirkei Eliezer, we're going to go through the 10 times that Hashem came down, or at least most of them. And we hear this is the second one. This is the second time that it says that Hashem came down. But we spoke about, I mean, in my book I read about, is Lashon HaKodesh considered from the 70 languages? Is Aramis considered from the 70 languages? What else do we speak about in there?
I guess Hashem came down a third time to check about Saddam.
Yes, that's the next parak. That's next week. Oh, there's a lot of interesting ideas. Each person wanted, after this happened, each person wanted to speak to his fellow in Lashon HaKodesh. As the Radal says, that was the language that they spoke before Migdal Bavel. Which in my book we bring down from Rishenim and even from the Yerushalmi, Gemara Yerushalmi, that it's not so pashut what language spoke before Migdal Bavel, but Rashi goes with the Mahalach that it was Lashon HaKodesh, and Pirkei Eliezer is also going with the idea that it was Lashon HaKodesh. So they wanted to speak Lashon HaKodesh, but they couldn't. But nobody was able to understand the language of his fellow. So what did they do? Each guy took a sword and suddenly they started fighting each other because they couldn't get along. And half of the world population at that point was killed by sword. It was a major world war, and that was World War II. half the world population was killed. And from there, Hashem scattered them along the face of the whole world. Hashem scattered them from there on the face of the whole world. But that's more or less the story of Migdal Bavel. Now the Medrash ties a loose end. We were talking about the coat of Adam and Chava. They went to Nimrod. So what happened afterwards? Rabbi says, Esav, Achav Shel Yaakov, Esav, the brother of Yaakov, Ra Esakutaynes Shasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam L'Chava on Nimrod. He saw this coat that Hashem made for Adam and Chava on Nimrod. V'chamar Esam B'libay, and he desired them in his heart. And he killed Nimrod and he took the coat for himself. As I mentioned before, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in one of his farm in Siach HaSadeh, has like a thing called like Sefer Likutim or something. He discusses this in other places also. It's Machloikis, who killed Nimrod? Was Avraham Avinu who killed Nimrod, or was it Esav who killed Nimrod? So here we're saying that Esav killed Nimrod, and he's the one who took the big day, the what we call the big day chamudis, the desirable clothing of Nimrod. Targum Yerushalmi in Bereishis Memchas Chaf Aleph says that Avraham Avinu was the one who killed Nimrod, and there's other midrashim that also seem to say that. If you learn that Amraphel from the four kings was Nimrod, and Avram, and says Avraham Avinu killed Amraphel, so then you have to say that Avraham Avinu killed Nimrod. Right? So it says that in Targum Yerushalmi that Avraham Avinu took the clothes from Nimrod and he gave it to Yitzhak, and Yitzhak gave it to Esav, because Yitzhak was under the assumption or was under the misimpression that Esav was his successor. We'll see. How do we know that these clothes were desirable in the eyes of Esav? Shneema, it says in the pasuk that when Rivka told Yaakov to go get the brachas from Yitzchak instead of Esav, so Yaakov said, "What do you mean? He's going to feel me, and he's going to see that I'm not Esav, because Esav is very hairy and I'm like very smooth." So what did Rivka say? Rivka said, "Yeah, wear these special clothing, and then he'll think that you're Esav." Vatikach Rivka is big day Esav bina hagodol hachamudais. Rivka took the clothes of Esav, her oldest son, hachamudais, the desirable clothes. The big day chamudais. So Rivka, Esav, Rashi says, I believe Rashi says this in Chumash, that Esav didn't trust anybody with these clothes. So when he wasn't wearing the clothes, he didn't even give it to his wives because he couldn't trust his wives. So he gave his clothes to his mother because he knew that his mother was like the only tzaddikus that he could trust. So he always gave his clothes to his mother to wash. So when he was out hunting, so they
knew his wives were not good.
Right. That's why he changed some of their names. But when he was out hunting, so the Mefarshim said that when he went out hunting to bring the food for his father, when Yitzchak was getting the brachas, so he dafka went out without these clothing because he wanted to do it like he wanted to put his ability and his powers into it. He didn't want to have to rely on the special clothing in order to get the animals to bring to his father. So he gave it, he says, so his, the clothes were by his mother, and his mother gave it to Yaakov Avinu. When Esav would wear them, Nasa Bom Gamhu Gibar, Esav would also become a strong person. Shneva says the Pasuk, Vahi Esav Ish Yedeat Said. Esav became an Ish Yedeat Said, a person who knew how to hunt. And maybe it could be that the pshat is that it's making sort of like a gzer shava. It was said by Nimrod, the Nimrod is Gibor Tzayid Lefnei Hashem. So here by Esav it says Yedea Tzayid. So that tells you that he was the same thing like Nimrod. But basically Rivka gave those clothing over to Yaakov. Uchushaba Yaakov me'ez p'nei Yitzchak aviv. When Yaakov left from in front of his father Yitzchak, after he got the bracha, he had these clothes. Omar, he said, "Ain Esav Rasha roi lil beish esakutenes halalu." Esav the Rasha is not worthy to wear these clothing. V'chafar utmanam sham. And Yaakov Avinu dug and he buried them there under the ground and he hid them. Shneimer says, "I'm also coming, but Aretz Chavloi, his package is hidden in the ground." So that's what happened to it in the end. Yaakov Avinu took it and he buried it and it was hidden, and that's the end of the story of the Big Day Chamudis of Esav, of Esav of Nimrod of Adam and Chava. That's more or less what happened over here.
He didn't give it to his sons.
Right. The chidobi here is sort of meramis to a question that I wrote down. I wrote a whole richas about elsewhere. That how was it that Yaakovin was able to wear the clothing of Esav? There's a halacha that the clothes of an ama aretz are metame tumas medris. It has a special tuma. Chacham or geizer a special tuma on the clothing of an ama aretz. So how could Yaakovin wear the clothing of Esav? So one of the mufarshim, so basically what they want to say, a lot of mufarshim, is that really it didn't belong to Esav. Esav stole it, so it wasn't really his clothing. So he couldn't really ask for it.
He stole from someone who stole it.
He stole from someone who stole it. Yeah.
Why is he considered an
Amaretz? Esav.
Yitzhak was put him in charge. I mean,
Amaretz in the context of Tumah V'Tara just means somebody who's not careful in Tumah V'Tara.
Okay.
Okay. We can assume that Esav wasn't careful in Tumah V'Tara.
He didn't give that away. So obviously, he wasn't careful.
It's a different type of tumah, but yeah, tumah ksiva v'karas.
So kavachomer wouldn't be careful tumah
to real tumah. I heard Just one last thing. There's a Gemara of Avodah Zarah. I meant to bring a Gemara of Avodah Zarah with me, but I forgot to. It's a very interesting Gemara. Is there one here? No. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that there's a custom in Rome that once every 70 years, they would take a lame person and put him on top. Well, you know, what's the Gemara saying exactly? That they would take a lame, like a disabled person, and put him on top of a healthy person, and they would dress the healthy person in the big day chamudais of Adam and Chava, and he would wear, and the lame person would wear a mask that was made out of the skin of Rabbi Shmuel. Like we say by the Asara Ruge Malchus, that when the Roman king wanted to kill Rishmael, so his daughter is like, no, you should save him because he's so beautiful. So he's like, oh, we'll save him, we'll kill him, but we'll like peel off his face and we'll like preserve it so like you can look at his face. So like the face of Rabbi Shmuel was preserved, and then the lame guy was wearing the face of Rabbi Shmuel, and as if to represent Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu was lame because he was Hutzalei al Yerechai. When the Malach of Esav hit him on his sciatic nerve, so he was limping, so he was like sort of like lame, and that was the minhag, and it would say certain things. I forgot exactly what it was that you see over here that Esav was miskaber over Yaakov. They made such a declaration.
It's like Yaakov is a liar or something.
Yeah, that Yaakov was a liar or something like that.
He tricked Esav.
So yeah, that he tricked Esav. So this is something that there was a minhag in Rome that they do this once every 70 years, and it's like whoever saw it. If you didn't see it, so that's it. You missed it for your life, because 70 years is a lifespan. The other profession said because 70 years is the amount of time that the original goal, the first goal is Babel, was 70 years. So they do like after their Golos Edom. So like every 70 years, we're saying like our the Golos is not over yet. We're still overpowering Yaakov Avinu.
The Golos only lasted for 300 years, because after the Germanic tribes. Yeah,
Chanami.
So how many times could have they had this occasion?
I don't know.
And even the times of the Gemara, the people that were Rome was for 300 years only. So
yeah, I don't know.
They couldn't have done it too many times.
It's true, but. So the question is, but it says in the Gemara that they would dress him in the clothes of Adam and Chava, in the big day of Chamudos, right? But over here in the Medrash, we said it was buried, it was gone. So what happened? So I want to say, if you look in the Yaibitz, in the Gemara over there, the Haglis Yaibitz, from Yaakov Emden on that Gemara, and the Yerala from the Beis, so he says it's Lav Dafka. They didn't actually have the begadim of Adam and Chava and dress this guy in it. Rather, what they did is, they in their own imagination, they decided, okay, this is how the clothing of Adam and Chava looked. And they said, and they dressed the guy in that, and they said, like, this represents the clothing of Adam. But not that they actually had the Big Day Chamudas, which is because, like, Pirkei Avos says over here, that it was hidden.
It was the Big Day Kahuna. After the story, they took the Big Day Kahuna.
Kuba, they took the Big Day Kahuna too, but Rashi says it was the Big Day Chamudas.
Yeah.
Well, if you learn, like, the Matta Omen, the Big Day Chamudas were the Big Day Kahuna, anyways, it's not a question. But the ones that the who says it? The Hadars, the Canaan, other Mephoreshim. Okay. Thank you for coming. Have a good one.